When teenagers commit murder, you can't treat them the same as adults. That's according to a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that says it's illegal to give teens a mandatory life without parole sentence, except in very rare cases. As part of our series, Michigan's Juvenile Lifers, Who Gets a Second Chance?, Michigan Radio's Kate Wells reports on what rare means in Michigan.
Matt Landry was just 21 years old when he was shot and killed execution style in an abandoned house in Detroit. Doreen Landry, his mother, talked to WDIV about Landry's killers.
The image of them walking Matthew from one house into another house, putting him on his knees, putting a gun to the back of his head, shooting him, is an image that wakes me up in the middle of the night in a panic. I have to live with that. That's my life sentence.
The two guys convicted of killing Landry were teenagers, 17-year-old Ihab Maslamani and 16-year-old Robert Taylor. Teenagers like this, you cannot lock them up for life without parole because the Supreme Court says kids are way more likely than adults to reform over time, except, the court says, for one kind of juvenile offender.
The rare juvenile offender whose crime reflects irreparable corruption.
This is Michigan Judge Diane Drusinski, and she is sentencing both Ihab Maslamani and Robert Taylor to prison for life with no parole. And if you caught the language that she's using, she's saying the rare juvenile offender whose crime reflects irreparable corruption. That is the only time the Supreme Court says you can lock a teenager up for life with no parole. The judge is saying here that even though these two were teenagers when they committed this crime, she has deemed them irreparably corrupt.
Ihab Maslamani and Robert Taylor are not irreparably corrupt.
This is Val Newman. She's a defense attorney in this case. And she says neither Maslamani nor Taylor were meticulous masterminds plotting to kill Matt Landry. Instead, she says they decided spur of the moment to rob him outside of a Quiznos. That robbery went bad, and they got him into his own car and started driving around for hours.
And that turned into, now he's seen our faces, he knows who we are. Oh, my God. We don't know what to do next. If we let him go, he's going to tell people who we are.
In court, Newman argued that both Maslamani and Robert Taylor come from abusive homes with a lot of trauma and neglect, and that they've already shown proof of maturing, with Maslamani saying, hey, I was responsible for this crime, but my co-defendant is innocent. And Newman, the attorney, also brought in an expert to answer this question. Are there any teenagers who are so depraved that they can never be reformed?
They may exist, but we wouldn't know for sure who they are at that young an age.
This is Professor Dan Keating. He's an expert in adolescent brain development at the University of Michigan, and he testified for the defense in this case. His argument being basically, yeah, there are teenage psychopaths, you know, just fundamentally unreformable people in this world. But identifying who they are takes years. Number one, are they unable to maintain long-term relationships? Two, do they have a long-term pattern of cruelty? And three, do they show a consistent lack of empathy?
Now, we may see signs of that early on. We may see signs of that even in childhood. People are studying that.
But looking at a 16 or 17-year-old and saying, yeah, that is your essential permanent personality and it will never change,
is something that is, I think, very hard to predict.
But the judge was not convinced. She sentenced both Maslamani and Taylor, who are now 24 and 23, to life without parole. Interestingly, she did say that Maslamani might get better if he got intensive therapy, but she says you don't get intensive therapy in prison. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court's decision means that lots of other cases where a teenager was locked up for life will now get another chance in court. And many of them have been in prison for years, even decades, and that gives judges a much longer history to look at when deciding which of these former teen criminals should get a chance, maybe at parole, and which ones are the rare exceptions beyond reform. I'm Kate Wells, Michigan Radio News.
You can find all our stories in our week-long series on juvenile lifers in Michigan at our website, michiganradio.org.